Hey everybody, welcome to Linux Cast. I'm your host Matt.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Drew.
And we are having a great time. We're going to be doing a Linux podcast. We're going to have no problems whatsoever. And if we do, they're all Drew's fault.
I will take that and run with it.
All right. So this is Linux Cast. We talk about Linuxy things. We're going to have a good old time. We are actually going to do something a little bit different. We haven't done maybe ever. We've done a distro before or maybe two, but we've never done an application. So we're going to do a review. So for the last few weeks, we've all been using WesTerm and we have some thoughts on it. So we're going to talk about those thoughts later. But before we do, we have a mini topic. And I have a feeling we're going to have a fierce debate here because either we're all going to just say our distro's name and then fight, or we will have different name, different answers. So we are going to do the best Linux distro logo. What have you guys? What do you think the best distro logo actually is?
let's just dive right in and just say Debian.
All right, that's fine. You can have that opinion, but I want to know why. You have to put some more words to it.
You know, actually, I have a few that I like. So, you know, because I am the shill and I want to, you know, promote whatever, the iconic swirl design is clean and minimalistic and is easily recognizable. And it suggests the symbolism of it is clearly community and collaboration and open source development. That's what the swirl is all about. I'll let somebody else go for now, though, because there are a few things that we should definitely discuss.
What about you, Nate? Yeah, what do you think, your top one, if you have more than one, your top one, what's yours?
My very top one is the actual Linux logo.
Tux?
Yes.
I think that's awesome. That was one of the ones I had planned on talking about because, I mean,
But I have two that nobody knows about.
Okay.
All right. Before we talk about our secondaries, then I asked for an actual distro logo, but you know, it's okay. And I just claim all of Linux. Okay. Linux is mine.
Without Linux, then technically there would be no distros.
You're right. I suppose. Checkmate, Matt. All right. So I think I'm going to surprise people and not say OpenSUSE as my favorite because the old OpenSUSE logo was pretty good. The chameleon. Now they have that weird like line art thing, which is just, it's not good. So I can't say OpenSUSE. My favorite one is Manjaro. I like the Manjaro logo, that blocky letter M.
Wow.
It's just, I don't know. There's something about it that makes it just really cool. Can't stand the distro, like the logo. I will admit, Drew, Debian is pretty damn cool. I mean, it's just neat. It's definitely unique.
What do you guys think of when you see like the Kali Linux logo? I mean, that kind of like stylized dragon thing. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know that I put it as a top tier, but it's definitely kind of like interesting. It kind of makes me double take. It's like, oh, look at that.
I forgot that was actually their logo.
I don't know. No? I still don't like it. No.
Okay. What are your other ones, Drew?
No, I was going to say Kali, but the Tux Penguin logo is like, that's a rock star type logo. That's really awesome. And, you know, it's interesting. I think there's a story where it's just that Linus liked penguins, thought they were really cool. And so he went with Tux. And I think that's, it's kind of like an awesome mascot type logo.
According to Linus, he was chased by a penguin in the Australian zoo. And that's one of the reasons why he chose it. But I don't know whether or not that's true. It's on Wikipedia, so your mileage may vary. Have you seen the original Tux logo? That somebody they had a competition or whatever, and someone basically submitted the Michelin Man, but as a penguin. it's not very good. Yeah, the Tux logo, it's fine. It's
so good, Matt, that you built it directly into your own logo, though. Come on. I mean, you're going to have to give it some credit.
But you notice I didn't use the
there.
Original one. I had to make it more modern. It's just a little too shiny for me. But it is good, and it's iconic in that you look at it and you know, yeah, that's Tux. Like, you know who that is. And I think a good logo, you can know what it is directly off from without having to know anything else about it. So like Manjaro logo, that's Manjaro logo. Debian is a Debian. Pop is really easy too, because it's, you know, the stylized P or whatever. So, and then you have weird logos, like, you know, I'm trying to think of a weird logo, but you know
what? I mean, I know that it's Nyx has got a good logo, I think, you know, that it seems like every time I see like somebody put out the Fast Fetch with a Nyx logo, it's like, oh yeah, all right, right on. Overall though, I think that there's a few good ones, including, I mean, I hate to say it, but Ubuntu's got a decent logo. Yeah.
So there's some weird ones. So like Gentoo's logo is really freaking weird, because what the hell is it? Nobody knows. I think it's supposed to be like a G, or maybe it's a bean, or I've heard multiple.
I have no idea. I don't.
Yeah, nobody knows what it is.
You could show it to me right now and I wouldn't know what.
I would actually pick Ubuntu Studio over Ubuntu logo.
All right.
Fedora's logo is good, but it's a, I mean, I understand why they couldn't just use a blue Fedora, because probably Red Hat, but the fact that they can't use it is
the Gentoo logo. I remember
really,
that.
Really sad that they can't use a Fedora in their logo.
The Zorin logo's not bad. The new one.
The Slackware logo is the most Slackware of logos ever. It looks like the Slackware logo because it looks like it was developed and designed in Microsoft Paint, probably in 1993, somewhere around there. So, yeah, definitely has the...
So I'm glad we all agreed that Debian was the best one. So I'm just,
You want me to tell you the other two that nobody really knows about?
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of them is from Australia, and it's called the Adios Linux. And it's literally just a cowboy hat. And the other one, and Matt's going to laugh, is Rancher OS.
What is Rancher OS?
Yeah, I've never heard that one.
It is a Linux distro that is only, it runs entirely in the operating system as a Docker. And Docker containers.
I thought Nate was going to go for the Bieber OS or the Hannah Montana OS. Or
the cow.
Yep, there you go.
That's the Nate distro. I want you to use that distro.
I am not doing everything in Docker containers.
It could have been worse. It could be Kubernetes, you know.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. I have to use that at work.
All right. That's funny. Okay. So in the chat, we'd love to hear from you guys who you think has the best distro logo. It'd be interesting to see who you guys all think. I know you've probably been saying that for a while, but if you haven't already, in the chat, or if you're listening to this after we post the edited version, leave them in the comment section below. We'd love to hear from you. It'll be interesting, because I think everybody's going to have their favorites, but try not to just choose the logo that you of the distro you use. I mean, actually put some thought into it and tell us why. It'd be good. You have homework. I'm giving you homework is what I'm doing. All right. And don't be late. Don't be late on it. Otherwise you will sit in the dunce chair. And then all Gen Z's like, what's the dunce chair? All right.
It's where they're going.
Yeah.
Oh, Solus logo is pretty cool. I forgot about that one.
Solus. I'm trying to remember the logo. That's the thing. If I can't remember what it looks like, it's not a good logo.
I thought you were going to go with the crunchy OS, Matt.
It's the one that has the wind sails.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I know what it looks like. Still. Okay. Yeah. There's some really good logos. I think we've,
all right.
Debian.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, the ones we named are pretty good. So, all right. So let's go ahead then and move on to
just a guy Linux logo. Just saying.
That is a really good logo. It'd be really cool if you had it on some merch that we could buy. Nice. I'm never going to let that go. All right. What it is he thinks that he's going to be famous someday. And the fact that there's only like 3 items of merch in the entire world is going to be like, it's a rarity thing for him.
That's right. That's right. It's going to go on eBay like in 10 years or something. And
for $100,000. Oh no. Sotheby's is on the rise, guys. They're coming.
When I'm dead, it'll be really expensive.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about WesTerm. So, Drew, you've been using WesTerm longer than the rest of us, and you really, really like it. So,
yeah.
I'm going to have you go first and just talk about, first off, why you started using it, and then tell us just some of your off-the-cuff top and level thoughts on it. Then we'll kind of delve into the outline that I had earlier.
Yeah, I thought to myself, first of all, you know, like Nate and a few other of our friends, I was using Tilex for a really long time. And I decided at that because it was kind of being sunset a little bit, that I was going to look for a different terminal. And I tried Ghosty, and that was for a good month or two until it stopped being, you know, when I updated it one time, it just stopped being, you know, I couldn't do it on Debian for whatever months of a bug. And it was really like a really good terminal, but I just, where it is in the in development cycle, I just said, you know, no, I'm not. So that's when it kind of like looked at other things. I've never been a big fan of Kitty. I don't know why it is. You know, Alacrity was something that I considered as well. I ended up settling on WESTerm simply because I thought that having a Lua configuration, even though not everybody will enjoy that, I thought, oh, wow, you know, you can do some really cool things in Lua, and to have a configuration for the terminal that can do a lot of things might be something I might want to try. It has the GPU acceleration. It's very snappy. And I thought to myself, this is something I wanted to try. And because of it, I've been a big proponent. And not only have I, you know, did a video on it, but I've actually contributed to the project. I think it's really, really good.
Wait, Nate, what about you? What were you using before? And what are your initial like thoughts on WESTerm?
So I actually did a challenge to myself. I still run Tilex. Like I already switched back. Y'all can see it right there. But I did use WESTerm on that computer, but I also matched it up against Alacrity. And my main focus is how well does it perform versus Alacrity? Because they're both considered, you know, GPU accelerated terminals. In my testing, I actually found WESTerm to be about 2 to 5 seconds faster than Alacrity in several different applications. Even just launching applications, it seemed to, you know, launch a little better and quicker. I can't tell you anything more than that because work got in the way, but that's what my testing concluded. It was about 2 to 5 seconds a little faster.
Oh, that's significant though.
Okay, so I had the opposite. Sorry, so first I was using Kitty beforehand. I've been using Kitty for years, basically since Alacrity stopped working with images for me. I used Alacrity for a long time. I like to use my terminals basically until I can't use them anymore. Now, I know Alacrity is still like in development or whatever, but it stopped working for me, so I had to move on. And then I got this attached to Kitty, like at the hip. Like it's such a great terminal, has all the things I need, right? And so I've looked at WESTerm in the past, but I never actually used it. And then I've been using it now for a couple weeks. And my initial thoughts were, man, this thing is the slowest thing I've ever used in my life. And I think I blame Drew for that because I used your first config like before you did the GPU stuff. And that's the reason why it was a little slow. Once I added the GPU stuff, it was much faster and it was fine. So my initial impression wasn't that great, but other than that, it was fine. I have many more deep thoughts than that after using it for a while because I don't like it. Like, I really don't like this terminal. There's several things about it that just bug the crap out of me. So I want to talk about those. But the next thing on our little outline here is, what are the features that you like the most? So Drew, what are the features that have, because you've used it for a long time, you've stuck there. What are the features that kind of kept you there?
Yeah, I like, well, a couple things in terms of the interface. So as far as like, I set it up for tabs, and I thought that the tabs are really good. Not only do I set up for tabs, but I kind of use the same keybinds that I do for Firefox. So like, you know, to open a new tab for Firefox is Control T. I use Alt T in WESTerm. And it also allows me to have like, not only just tabs, but terminal panes, and being able to like split panes really quickly using a keybind, as well as navigate within the pane very, very fast. The GPU acceleration is, I think, pretty good. There have been, and to Matt's point, yeah, there has been some pains associated. In fact, there has been some errors associated with ligature errors and things like that. But overall, I would say the interface is to my liking. The fact that it uses iTerm 2 color schemes, I guess that's the right word. But regardless, you can just put in like, I want to use, you know, put in a one color scheme in like they do for macOS terminals, and it just takes on the attributes of that color scheme. So iTerm 2 color schemes. So if you don't want to do your own color schemes, it's really easy to just kind of like throw one in there, and it works really, really nicely. The fact that it uses, I mean, the developer has macOS, Windows, and Linux, all of them basically work essentially the same. So not all terminals can do that, but I like having a configuration that I can just throw in there, and it's just like the same as all the other machines that I have. So Tilex did not offer that. You know, you have to go into the interface and go click, I want this and this and this, and then it works really, really great. But I like being able to move my Lua config over, and boom, it's exactly the same as another machine.
Drew discovered configuration files.
Well, come on. I mean, how many configuration files am I using for all these, you know, window managers, stuff like that. Now, Awesome WM being a Lua config, I was a little bit more adaptable to using that since I did my own Awesome WM config.
So I think that I have many problems with Lua, but Nate, do you have any features of WebSTerm that you particularly enjoyed in the time that you did get to use it?
I'm going to be honest with you. I really didn't dive too deep in the features part just because I was trying to run it on this machine and I had the Intel GPU. Don't do that ever. But with that being said, I did find the one where Drew was talking about where you can set certain colors for certain things, and that actually helps a lot with dyslexia if you ever have that, especially trying to space it out between I'll give you an example. I was writing Vim, and I was actually writing a Rust file for a particular cargo application because I wanted to tweak it just a little bit, and using WebSTerm, I was actually able to not only determine where all of my stamps were at, but I could also put in comments and it would be a different color, and so I knew exactly what I needed to do, you know, looking at the web page and going back and actually putting into Vim. So in that sense, it was actually really nice. I don't know how to do that in Alacrity. I've never done it in Alacrity. So
cool. All right. So I think my favorite feature was the configuration file, which is surprising. I won't go so far as to say that I like it a lot, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And for this, I give you credit, Drew, because I stole your config and it got me started. If I'd had to start off from scratch, I think I would have had a huge issue because I just wouldn't have been able to do it. Like I don't like Lua that much. And I don't think that, I think my ability to write a configuration file from scratch in Lua would be damn near nil. I couldn't do it with Awesome. I never was able to do it with Awesome. It's just starting from scratch with Lua always confuses the crap out of me, and it just wouldn't happen. So starting from something that I knew worked helped out a lot. And because I was coming from Kitty, if anybody's ever actually used the Kitty configuration file, you know that they cram all of their documentation into it. And what's worse is they use Vim folds to do it. So the first time you use Kitty and you go into their configuration file, everything is folded. And when I first saw that, I was like, what the fuck is that? Because I'd never heard of Vim folds before. Like I had no clue that that was even a thing. And I had to go look up how do you unfold something in Vim, because it doesn't just happen. You have to go look up the key binding for it. So that was really annoying. So, and then once you get everything unfolded, it's like 15,000 lines of text or something like that in the configuration file. It's the dumbest thing ever. So from a start, the configuration file on WebSTerm was better. I didn't know about the iTerm 2 color schemes. I wish I would have known that, because I did go through and do a whole bunch of themes on my own in order to script those. But it was fine. I will say that I do like that the config is auto updating. So if when you save it, the whole thing kind of updates. That's cool. Kitty does the same thing. It's not quite as good as Kitty because although I take that back. I don't know because I don't source anything in the Kitty configuration file. So in the WES term thing, I sourced all of the color variables from to a different file. And that way, when I change those files, I change color schemes. But the updating thing only works when you change the original file. So when I scripted, I had to do a touch westerm.lua or whatever it was in order to actually get it to recognize that things had changed. But other than that, the configuration file was fine.
You know what? I'm going to have to take the bullet on this one, too. I think that I overcooked the first Lua config or the first WESTerm config. And when you got a hold of it, I think it was kind of like way too bloated, way too much. And it made it kind of almost unusable until I went back. And I think I knocked off like nearly 100 lines of Lua to it to make it much more simple. But at the same time, you don't even need it. You could do the same thing in probably about 15 lines and as far as configuration. The thing that I will say about Kitty is I could never figure out why is there so much like commented stuff within that one file. It's like if you removed all the commenting from the Kitty config, it'd be like 20 lines or something like that. It would be like really, really small, but overall it's like what, 500 lines of
documentation? Well, yeah, they put all of their documentation in there. I've always had a problem with that. It's just, I mean, that's what man pages are for. Like literally just link to the man page, it'd be fine. All right. So we've done features that you like. What about features that you think are either bad or missing?
SSH, 100%. It did not work. I'll follow their documentation, try to get it connected to that server. It did not work at all.
Huh?
I never could get it to work. And it's supposed to be built in and out of the box. I could not get it to work at all.
I can't say that I have the same issue. In fact, I even wrote like a Rofi script that had like all my server stuff in it. I just like hit like a keybind and then automatically it would open up WESTerm in the SSH in SSH and it would have logged me straight in. It was pretty saucy, but I'm sorry you had that issue.
It could be a user issue, right? Like I could have typed in something backwards. That is totally acceptable, but I for some reason just could not get it to work. And it would work fine when I would open Tolix or what else did I use? I used another terminal. Oh, the GNOME terminal, whatever it's called, console or whatever. Console with a C, not the K, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got that one to work as well, but I could not get it to work in WESTerm. I may still play around with it and see if there's just something I missed in my configuration file, but yeah.
I don't know what your problem there, Nate, was because SSH worked fine for me too. Now, when I use SSH in Kitty, it doesn't like to transfer over the terminal info into the SSH session. At SSH session, so you have to kind of do that manually, but I didn't have any of that problem with WESTerm, which was I guess was a feature that I enjoyed because normally I have to do that. For me, features that are missing are not really that are missing but aren't enabled out of the box. I hate the fact that there's a tab visible right from the start. Like it drives me bonkers. I immediately had to Google how to turn that off because like if I'm not using a tab, I don't want to see the tab. So just don't show it to me. Like, I think I know why they do it because you know that it has tabs, but the tabs are so huge. Like, especially on a small screen, you know, it just drives me bonkers. So I had to turn those off and I hardly ever use the tabs. Like, I know I'm a big tabs guy in the browser, but I never use a tab in a terminal. Like, Kitty has tabs and never ever use them.
I turned them off. Well, look at Tolix. Tolix has tabs out of the box, and I immediately turned it off to where it literally has nothing because that's the way I like it.
Anyway, so yeah, I had to turn that off immediately. I wish that was able out of the box. Also, I use Hyperland, and I have not been able to get blurring or transparency to work at all. And I'm not sure if it's because the class name or whatever Wayland uses as an alternative to class name just is different than what I expect it to be. and I just haven't checked it out yet. But that's something that I like. All the screenshots I post on my server for the my 2-year challenge or whatever have normally would have a terminal that has like 80% opacity or whatever it is. These I can't get it to work at all, and I'm not sure why. So every time I try to sit down and troubleshoot it, just doesn't work. So that's another thing that I would definitely fix. I don't know. I think that I would have said something about the theming before you told me about the iTerm 2 theme stuff, Drew, because I did have to go through and do all that stuff manually. Because in Kitty, it comes with like, I don't know, like 400 themes.
Yeah.
And you can add, oh, this is actually a good one. I don't know if you can do this with WebTerm, but with Kitty, you can change the theme from outside of Kitty, like outside of the configuration file. So you can do kitten theme, then the name of the theme, and it'll change the theme of all of your terminals. And that makes it like super easy to write a script for, because you can just change the theme in your script and it just works. With WebTerm, I had to actually script it so that the theme Lua changed to the, you know, basically overrode the old colors, and then I had to touch the WebTerm.lua in order to get it to work. So that's a feature that I'd love to have in WebTerm if I was going to switch. I don't think it's one that many people really care about, but I like being able to change the theme outside of the configuration file.
I could probably fix a lot of these things like in like minutes. I wish that it doesn't matter, but at the same time, it's like Lua is such a powerful scripting tool that we could really like, you know, put something, you know, cool and fancy, you know.
Yeah, I see. I'm never gonna get into Lua that much. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right. So that actually leads us into the next question. How you seem to be on the pro, because at one time, Drew, maybe I'm wrong about this, but you didn't actually care for Lua all that much. Have you come around?
Well, yeah, more and more because of, I did do a new config for AwesomeWM. And because of it, I was kind of like moving everything off of one configuration file into a more modularized set of files, I got to appreciate it more and more because of how, and not to mention, it's so extensible in terms of like what you want to accomplish. So even if you don't like, for example, like I found I didn't necessarily like all of the layouts within AwesomeWM, and this is a little bit off topic, but as far as Lua is concerned, it's a lot easier to script like a new layout if you want to try something in Lua than it is in other things. So overall, yeah, I like having that. Now, again, I think that I like overcooked my configuration for WebTerm. Initially, it was very simple. And if you would ask me what my drawback, you know, what I would have thought WebTerm was failing in a little bit, it would have been early on when I was like, it took like whenever I hit that keybind super enter for that to launch my terminal, it took like a beat. I mean, it wasn't instantaneous, in which I'm like expecting it to be. It took a beat for it to actually open up in my tiled tag. And so that was really annoying to me, but I think I've found ways to kind of like make it more quick, you know, quicker launches in the terminal, and the terminal just like in, you know, starts up much faster. And it was because I kind of screwed up my config to make it like slower than it needed to be. Anyway, I think that as terminals go, this is a very good one. And it doesn't mean that I think that it's the best one. It's just the best one for me today. So
we'll get around to whether or not you're going to stick around it. But Nate, what's your thoughts on the whole Lua thing?
Well, as someone that uses Awesome, surprisingly, I think it's a very, very nice language that I've kind of have a love-hate relationship with. Sometimes I really hate it because of the, how do I say it? I can't think this in scripting terms. Where you have the, what do you call it, the arrows or whatever, and you have to space them so far. What is that called?
You're talking about
arrows. On Lua.
Arrows?
When you're having to do a space in Lua. Anyways, beside the point.
Hey, we're just staring at you with blank, dead eyes. You have no clue what you're talking about.
But anyways, so I have a love-hate relationship with it sometimes. I do like the fact that whenever I'm using it, it is pretty simple to use. And so using it in West term wasn't too bad. But at the same time, I also have issues with, like I said, just that one particular issue that I have a problem with. And it has a lot to do with my dyslexia, because I'll leave out parts that should be there and leave out parts that shouldn't be there, or put in parts that shouldn't be there. And it's just because I can't remember what to do with it. So that's just a me problem.
Yeah. So for me, my opinion of Lua has changed a lot in the last 6 to 8 months or so since I switched my NeoVim over from VimScript to Lua. Oh,
that's true.
I'm much more familiar with it now than I was before. I'm not sure, because I've never spent a lot of time in Awesome Window Manager. And you guys both know this. The default configuration file for Awesome Window Manager is scary to someone who doesn't know Lua, because it's not in like a straight line. I don't know why I think that that's scary, but there's a whole bunch of indentation and stuff like that. It looks really, really weird. And if you've never seen Lua before, it can be a little bit intimidating. It's not as bad as Haskell, which has some weird shit going on. But for me, at least initially, when I first tried Awesome Window Manager, it was bad. But these days, I'm much more familiar with Lua because of NeoVim. And at least Drew, the way you have your configuration file set up that I stole and then modified, it's all very easy to read. Like for me, one of the problems I always had with Lua is it felt kind of hard to read. Whereas with Python, I can read that. It's not human readable, but I can read it. I know what things are going on. C, I also have a good idea what C is doing because I'm familiar with it. I've been using it for, you know, a long time. I'm not an expert. I'm not a developer or anything, but I can at least say, you know, that's a variable. You know, that's an if statement, you know, that stuff like that, right? For the first time in a long time, Lua feels at least somewhat familiar with me, to me. And so I didn't mind the Lua aspect of it as much as I thought that I would. Because I remember when we first talked about this, Drew, that was my biggest thing where I was like, oh, it's in Lua. Like, oh, gross. I don't want to. You know what I mean? Didn't have a problem with it. Like, it was fine. Whenever I needed a setting like to turn the tabs off or whatever, it was easy just to go find what that was and put it in there. And it made sense to me. Like, it basically just says no tabs on one tab or whatever it is, you know. It's basically readable, and it's just a period after that and then an equal sign, and it works. Maybe it's because I've learned a lot of Python since then. It doesn't feel as intimidating as it once did. It makes me kind of want to go try Haskell again, because Haskell and Xmonad and stuff really did fry my brain. So maybe now that I'm more familiar with some programming languages, it wouldn't be so bad, but we'll see about that. I don't know if I'm that ambitious, but for me personally, the Lua stuff, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I will say that I didn't have much of a chance to go into the documentation for WebSTerm, so I'm not sure what that's exactly like. Drew, did you check out the documentation at all?
Or no, not really. No.
Yeah. I'm curious. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, yeah, I read, you know, the project at GitHub, you know, you read, you know, whatever's there. I don't know that it's like super well documented, but at the same time, I mean, there is a WebSTerm website too that I thought had good content on it. But I mean, it's a terminal. So I don't know that I need to, like, you know, I need to get as much out of it as I want, you know, and that is all. I like, to your point, Matt, where you use a terminal, you just want comfort, you want speed, you want to get your stuff done, and it shouldn't be that hard. It just shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, it was. I just took a quick look. That website looks pretty well put together, so it's much better than what I was expecting it to be. I guess because of the whole kitty thing and stuff like that, I get kind of like, oh, is the documentation gonna be that? But you're right, I didn't look at it at all. Sorry. So we've kind of talked about customizability and theming. So is there anything specific about that you guys want to talk about in terms of how you were customized and theming that you kind of want to point out? That was there something about WebSTerm that made customizing it or theming it better than what you were using before?
I'm thinking that I was using Tilex, obviously, and I wanted to have a more, and then again, I used Ghosty for a while too. And again, and by the way, both Ghosty and WebSTerm both have iTerm2 color themes built in. So you could use either one. You can use iTerm 2 color schemes. Regardless,
they really need to rename that stuff.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
It's true. Overall, though, I wanted color wise and theming wise, I wanted it to look basically like everything else on my screen in terms of colors. So, like, I've been using Genie, as everybody knows, for a long time. I have been building my own like color schemes for Genie, and I wanted it to match that. So when I look at them next to each other, I want it to look very, very similar. And when I'm in NeoVim, I want that color scheme to look very, very similar. So I just want kind of like, as far as theming and colors, I want everything to kind of look like it belongs and everything. And I thought that was easily accomplished within WesTerm. Now, when you are a keyboard centric user, you really have control over what keybinds you are using. And like I said, I wanted to kind of like mirror what I was doing with like Firefox. So Alt T and, you know, Alt W and Alt C and so on and so forth, all of these. And then if you want to split, you have the ability to use Alt as a modifier. By the way, for those that are, you know, NeoVim users or Vim user for that matter, they do have a leader key that you can use within WesTerm as well, which is kind of an interesting, something I don't use, but there is leader keys that you can use within the configuration so that you can set stuff up. Overall, I would say that you can get out what you put in, you know, that's the bottom line. You get out what you put in.
As with most things.
Yeah.
All right. What about Nate? Did you attempt to do any customizing or theming? Anything that stood out for you in terms of setting this thing up?
I did use some of the hyperlinks for GitHub, and it done pretty well. You just use the printf, and it would pop out the hyperlink that I wanted, and it would just work. Oh, it was indents that I was trying to think of a while ago.
Rather tabs or spaces. Okay.
Yeah. Something with my dyslexia, I do not do it well. I don't know why. Sometimes I do too many, and sometimes I don't, and then like it's all messed up.
So what you're trying to say is that you love YAML.
I guess. Not really.
Yeah. YAML sucks like that. All right. So I really already talked about how I themed it and doing the whole sourcing and stuff. So I don't need to do more on that. So the last question I have for you guys, I think this is the most important question. Drew, I'll go with you first. Do you plan on keeping using it?
Yeah, absolutely. I like I said before, I think that Ghosty is a very good project. It's just not ready for me yet. That doesn't mean that I will switch off WesTerm when I think Ghosty is stable enough, but overall, I think that WesTerm, plus I've put a lot of time into my configuration, so I'm not going to go like, you know, off the deep end and just like, I'm not worried about that anymore. You know, like you said, with so many different uses for Lua, now with Awesome WM, with WesTerm, with the NeoVim configuration, it kind of all works if you're trying to like have some, you know, similarities and stuff like that. I don't want to put all that work into it and then not use it. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, yeah, I'm going to be using WesTerm for the foreseeable future.
Okay. What about you, Nate? You going to keep using WesTerm or what?
No, he's already using Xilinx.
Yeah. I already went like Xilinx. But okay. In fairness, I have not uninstalled it, which means I plan on still testing with it, because once I have my full rig back up and running, that might be something I will look at maybe going full time, because I do plan on installing Cosmic. And so,
all right. So for me, no, I'm not going to continue to use it. Yeah.
I was aware of that.
it's not bad. I thought it was going to be way worse, because I thought the Lua thing was going to immediately turn me off. When I first started it up and it was so slow, that was like, oh my God, I'm never going to make it through these 2 weeks. But I've been using it like I haven't opened up Kitty in ages. I even when I put Hyperland on this laptop after a reinstall, WesTerm went on that as well because it was part of my Hyperland config. So I've used it for the full 2 weeks, and I miss Kitty a lot more than I thought I would. And some of that is because of the ease of use of in terms of switching themes and stuff like that. But also it's just like having a config for Drew, you're experiencing this right now with Westerm. You have a configuration file, you've put so much effort into it. It's kind of like a comfy blanket. You know what I mean? It has all the things that you want. Everything works really, really well. All the key bindings are there where you need it to be. And despite having used Westerm for 2 weeks, that config file is basically still mostly yours. And I think if I use it for longer and try to make it more mine, I could be happy with it. But that would require effort that I'm not really interested in putting into it because I just simply like Kitty better. And most of that's just because of familiarity and stuff. So no, I'm going to immediately after this podcast, I'm uninstalling Westerm and going back to Kitty and putting Kitty back to where it was. Cause it was, I even went through and made Westerm into my scratch pads. Like I have all my scratch pads. I changed all those from Kitty to Westerm. So I went full in on it. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to back to Kitty. So, I didn't really have this on the list, but just we did a general overview of your initial thoughts, just as a wrap up. What do you generally think of Westerm to kind of put a cap on your entire experience? Drew, again, I'll go with you first.
I think that, you know, obviously for me, I think it's an excellent terminal. And I mean, I wish that other people maybe saw the same way, but it's cool. Not everything is going to be equal for everybody. I think the question could also be, who should use it? Who's it for? I would say that it is for people that are developers that work across multiple platforms and want consistency. You know what I'm saying? So not me necessarily, since I'm just a Linux user, but if I was a developer and I was on either Windows or Mac OS and Linux or all three, and I wanted consistency, that would be a big, big plus for me to have that kind of consistency. Power users that want some level of customization and want some, want some speed in terms of their GPU acceleration and things like that. I think there's a sweet spot of for people and for users of Westerm. I don't know that it's for everybody. It's true. That's a fact, you know, but there is a sweet spot for people that are, you know, all about Westerm.
And who really like Lua.
Yeah.
There are like Lua fanboys out there. There's actually quite a few of them. People just,
you know, it's
like,
funny. It was written in Rust, like Alacrity. You know, I don't know that that changes anything, but there is a bunch of, you know, there are a few Rust-based terminals out there. By the way, Ghosty, not one of them, written in Zim, actually.
Oh.
So it's really an interesting, these newer like terminal projects are kind of very nerdy. And you get an idea as to how big a nerd if you're like, ooh, the next really cool terminal's coming out, you know?
I don't know anything about Rust. So I don't know what Rust looks like. I don't think I've ever seen a snippet of Rust code. So I don't know enough about it. But it's, I'm surprised that there's not something that's configured in Rust. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it actually has like a Rust configuration file. I'm surprised that isn't a thing. Nate, your wrap up on Westerm.
Like I said, I still think I'm going to test with it and probably even try it on my Windows machine to see if I can get the configuration files the same. And since I am moving to Cosmic and technically it is built upon Rust and technically it does have Wayland support 100% out of the box, I am very interested in seeing how Westerm will do in Cosmic. I know there's still some issues with the actual Cosmic terminal, so using something else might be something I'll have to use. And I know Italics does not work well in Cosmic at all because it's, you know, hasn't been updated.
I said Zim. Thanks, chat. I said Zim when I said, should have said Zig for the programming language for Ghosty. Oh man, that's lame. Anyway.
I was like, is that like ZimWiki? Like, I remember.
No. I said Zim when I should have said Zig.
To be honest, look how many stinking languages there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they all have weird names.
Yes.
All right. So my wrap up is just that I'm happier with it. I mean, I'm not going to continue using it, but I'm happier with it than I thought it would be. So my overall experience with it was positive, which was a surprise for me. I thought it was going to be all negative, and I was going to be at the end of the 2 weeks. So like, oh my God, I hate this thing. Why did we ever do this? You know, I'm going to, you know, it's just horrible, but it really wasn't bad. And I could see myself being happy with it if I put more effort into it. Cause like you said, Drew, you get out what you put in, and I just didn't put in enough. Cause I think I always anticipated I was going back to Kitty no matter what. Like, if this thing could have blown my socks off, and I would have still wanted to go back to Kitty. So, all right. I think that that's where we'll leave the discussion of WESTerm. So if you want to check out WESTerm, we'll leave a link to it in the video description of this, so you can go check it out. In terms of availability, Drew, is it in the Debian repositories?
No, it is not.
Of course it's not. And actually, I'm actually going to have to go find out. I don't remember how I...
How you installed it?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I'm doing a quick search here. It is, in fact, it is in the OpenSUSE repository. So yeah, what about the Ubuntu repositories, Nate?
I didn't check that. I just done it as a Flatpak.
You are so lame.
You can technically add it, but it was a Flatpak already. So I was like, well,
really weird that it is a Flatpak, but cool to know. All right, anyway, so if you want to install it, just don't do it on Debian, which is lame. It doesn't have in the repositories. So,
all right. But you can go to my GitHub, and that there is an installation for it, plus a put my configuration in your .config WESTerm directory, which will be perfect.
Yeah.
Or you can do that. Or if you're really nerdy, you can just go to their website, and there's an Ubuntu/Debian. App.
No, I know it does that, but I'm just saying mine puts my configuration in your,
All right. Let's go ahead then move on to the nuggies of the week. So the nuggies, this is a section where we can basically talk about whatever we want. These can be picks, they can be tricks, they can be apps, whatever. They can be basically whatever you want, but we usually share things that we're just interested in sharing with you guys. So we have three nuggies for you. Nate, you can go first. What is your nuggie of the week?
So mine is technically two that are together. I don't, y'all can't see it anymore, but I have a laptop over there that has original IBM ThinkPad R40. So it has a single core CPU, and I've been trying to get it to work. Of course, it needs the little small IDE cable, and I didn't want nothing hanging out of it. So I found two of them. One is it's cable CC IDE to mSATA adapter. And then there's also, I bought a Yota Master M500 128 gigabytes mSATA SSD. And it's literally an enclosure that you put the mSATA SSD in, screw it down, pull it together, screw the bottoms down, and it literally just slotted in and immediately picked it up. And so if you have an old laptop like that, these two things, I forgot to put the link in the Nuggies of the Week. I'll do that as soon as we're done with the show. But yeah, those two things together actually, and it's snappy, like that thing turns on quick. So it's just if you like working on old hardware, it's a good option.
Nice. Drew, your nuggie of the week.
So this is like a whimsical nuggie, because everybody has kind of either NeoFetch or FastFetch that like pops up when their terminal when they turn on their terminal or whatever, and I wanted to do something other than that, but I didn't necessarily want like just a blank screen. So I installed on Debian Fortune-mod, which is basically a fortune cookie type thing, and then Kausei, and then run them together. So, once you start your terminal, the cow will say what the fortune cookie, what the fortune cookies says. So it's kind of like fortune, and then space, and then pipe, and then cow say, and then the cow will say the fortune cookie thing. I thought it was hilarious.
That is cool. Now you just need to pipe it through lolcat, so it comes colorful.
Okay.
That'd be cool. All right. So mine is actually an Android app. It is called, I'm going to mispronounce it probably. I think it's called Packly. PACHLI. It is a Mastodon client. I believe I've tried every single Mastodon client on Android that exists, and There are not many, very many good ones, to be honest with you. They're much better selection on iOS. But Packly, if that's how you pronounce it, is actually pretty good. It's very, very customizable, so you can move the UI around quite a bit if you don't like how it comes to begin with. It's very fast. It also, I like that it delays your notifications so that they all kind of come through in a group and end up in a grouped notification if you have those turned on, because I get a lot of mentions and stuff because of the channel and stuff. So overall, it's just a really, really good Mastodon client. So if you are in need of a Mastodon client on Android, I'd definitely give it a chance. It's also, I don't know that if it's FOSS or not. I truly didn't check, so not sure. I will just say that it's good and it's free. So there you go. All right. So I do believe that is where we are going to end it. So first off, we were thinking that we wouldn't get an hour out of this, Drew. Uh-huh. We made it to an hour. We did a pretty good job. So there we go. If you guys want to watch us live, we do this every Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You can watch us live on youtube.com/thelinuxcast. And if you do that, you'll be able to join in the chat, where you'll have a bunch of fun. And everyone there usually just has a fantastic conversation just going alongside ours. Or sometimes they go on amazing tangents that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. So if you're going to watch us live, you'll have a good time in the chat. If you can't watch us live, we repost a edited version, which is basically the same thing except for without the ums. All of that work is hardly done. I'm done, you know, and that was not how I meant to say it. It's that hard work is done by Nate, editing it and making sure it's good. So definitely check that out. That's posted every Saturday evenings, so you can check that out. And it's available on every podcatcher that you can imagine. So if you want to listen to the audio version, you can check that out or get it on the YouTube channel. If you do check it out on a podcatcher like Apple Podcasts, please give us a review. We'd be really appreciative of it. It'd really help us out. So there's that. If you want to get in contact with us, the best way to do that is email at thelinuxcast.org. That is this absolute pinnacle way of reaching us, even though email is like really old school. So I know some people are like, oh, it's email. It's not new enough for me, but email still works for us. So email at thelinuxcast.org is the best way to do that. Or you can check out our YouTube channels. Nate is Nate Picks Tech World on YouTube. He posts a lot of hardware content, or he's going to post a lot of hardware content. He posts hardware content. I have a lot of words to say at the end of these. There's just way too many words. Anyways, Nate Picks Tech World. Go over, subscribe to his channel. We'd appreciate that. And Drew is the Debian guy, and also I don't think he's known for Debian so much anymore as the install script guy. Like, everything he does is install scripts. It's awesome. So check his out. He's Just a Guy Linux on YouTube. You can tell that by the awesome hat, although he doesn't have a shirt on today. Like, he doesn't have the Just a Guy Linux t-shirt.
I have to prove that I have more than one or two shirts. So I mean...
okay, so this funny thing is I get accused of that all the time because all my shirts are literally like the same three colors. So like why is that guy always wearing the same shirts? Like, I'm not. It's okay. I do know how to take a shower. I take it often every single day. I just happen to have shirts that are all the same color. So sue me. Anyways, Just a Guy Linux on YouTube, and also the Linux Cast on YouTube. Check us out. Give us all a subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a thumbs up on our videos. We, you know, hack the rag algorithm or whatever. So there you go. Anyways, now that the wordy part of the show is still done, that's where we're gonna end it. We'll see you guys next week.